Welcome to Jesus-Centric Life. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we're doing more of a Bible study kind of format today, looking at Matthew 4 and Luke 4 and the temptation of Jesus. And Pastor, when we were talking about different things that we wanted to do, this one was really, you were very passionate about it. Fighting lies with truth and the importance of that. Tell us a little bit of why you wanted to focus on that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we say like memorize scripture. And we never stop to say kind of what is the why of memorizing scripture? Mm-hmm. Why is that behind us? Well, it's like, so you know it, or we hear these stories of people in prison and can't having a Bible and they remembered all of it. And those things are good and cool stories, but like that probably isn't going to happen to all of us. Like, that's not my day to day. And I think what we miss when we do that was like, oh, this would be a cool thing to do, memorize scripture. But we don't really get the why that's so important, or the impact that can make on your everyday basis. And that's kind of what I think. I think there's a big impact that memorizing not just random verses, but specific verses for you will make a big difference. And it goes kind of to this idea of the temptation of Jesus, right? And what went on. So, you know, should we jump into that?
Yeah, let's do it.
And so, like I said, and I'm reading out Luke 4. They're fairly similar, but it's in Matthew 4 as well. But I've got Luke 4 up. And so Jesus goes out into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. He's tempted by Satan for 40 days, right? And we don't know all the temptation, but we get recorded these three temptations. Now, my guess is it went on for longer than just these three temptations. Okay. But we get these. And what's important is it's been going on for a long time. So probably this is at the very end of the 40 days. Satan comes to Jesus.
40 days is a long time to be pushed and shoved, and you're hungry and it's hard.
Yep.
And Satan's going to work on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's the three temptations. And so the first one, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stones to become bread, right? Which makes sense. Jesus is hungry.
Right.
And really it's this temptation. All three are really this temptation to look outside of your purpose that you have in God and look to yourself, which is really, I think, what almost sin is this focus on myself. But what I really want to highlight is what Jesus does to fight off the temptation, because I think for a lot of us, we're tempted, and what we do is we're like, oh, that's not right. Or what do I think about that?
Now,
is that right or is that wrong?
Speak to that a little bit more. So you're being tempted to gossip, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. But, well, and a lot of times what we'll do is we'll just kind of either justify it in our mind, or we'll wonder, well, everybody else is doing it. Mm-hmm. Is it really that big of a deal? Is it like we kind of just process it in our mind, right? Like, and don't get me wrong, like a lot of who you are is already steeped in scripture. Mm-hmm. You've heard some sermons, you've been to some Bible studies, and so you should have a good knowledge of what God's truth is. But a lot of times what we do in the moment is we just kind of evaluate that. And I think that's a dangerous thing, to evaluate it based on our thoughts and feelings, and even our thoughts and feelings about scripture.
So you're saying we immediately go to ourself to rationalize it. Hey, I shouldn't be gossiping.
But this isn't really that big of a deal.
Right.
And they're not going to know, or they're whatever it is.
And I'm not really gossiping. I'm just sharing information.
Yeah.
So we try to make it right.
Yeah. But we do it in our brain. When we do it in our brain, and I don't want to take this out, you do it on your brain based on what you know about God's word and your human environment.
Mm.
But see, what Jesus does is he doesn't just go to what he knows about God's word. He goes straight to God's word.
Right.
And that's what's different. And so so Jesus told him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. He throws God's word at it. He lets it stick and he moves on. And I think a lot of times we sit and think about it or process it instead of going straight back to God's word.
Mm.
Go back straight back to and quoting the verse exact word for word, right? And that's what we see Jesus do three times, right? The devil, this is verse 5, the devil took him up to the and showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. if you will then worship me, all of it will be yours. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered, is it written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He quoted exact text at Satan, put a period at the end of it, and moved on.
He didn't try to rationalize it or, hey, you know, that's a great point, but...
Yeah, and it's throwing God's word at it and walking away. That's what we see Jesus doing.
Flee from sin.
Yeah, and not just... A lot of times when we fight, and we know we want to fight, let's take gossip. We don't want to gossip. And instead of saying, I'm trying to think of the exact word now because I didn't know you were going to go to gossip, but off the top of my head, but like, let no harmful speech come out of you, right?
Yeah.
Like, instead of just saying that and walking away from the gossip, we think about it. Is this good? Is this okay? Like, should I be doing this? Whereas like what Jesus does is he throws it at Satan and he moves away.
And he gets out of there.
Yeah. And so my point is that, and I think this is where it gets really interesting. I think for most of us, we have the same temptation comes at us time and time and time again. We all have the same thing. And so my point is, don't just memorize random verses. You start with what temptation is Satan throwing at me on a regular basis? And again, if there's multiple ones, just pick one you want to work on. What temptation is Satan throwing me at on a regular basis? And then I go and I look for verses using Google search, using AI, whatever you need to do. Find verses that you can, in that moment, memorize and throw at Satan. And so I think that's kind of the concept of what we're talking about.
Yeah, here. No, that's really good. And I like how you say that. Like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Yeah.
It's not memorizing the whole Bible, although that would be amazing and powerful.
Yeah.
But it's really locking in on the one that Satan's really working overtime to get you to bend into.
Yeah.
And we could list a litany of sins, but... we all know, I like how you said that, we all know a little bit of where we're at.
Yeah, and I want to, like, I don't want to just cage this in, because we could easily stay just here in sins, but it's even, like, identity things. So, like, my biggest temptation, like, isn't that someone would come up to me in the parking lot and say, hey, do you want to buy some heroin? Like, I'm going to say no. That's easy. Like, that's not my temptation.
Although it is some people's.
It is some people's.
Right.
And so if that's yours, like, I don't want to minimize that. Like, that's a real struggle. But like, like, I don't want to say just like, well, it's gossip or it's drugs or it's alcohol or it's pornography. It's like, I don't want to just say that. Like, it's our worth stuff too. So like, I struggle with my self-worth. Like, I see myself as rubbish or trash or garbage. And so like, what verses am I carrying around that remind me of that? I see myself sometimes as a victim that like life is just happening to. Like, what verses am I carrying around that help me with that? And so like, one of the ones that I carry around is like, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That we are Ephesians 2:8-10, that for we are his, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Like, those are all things that I carry around. And when Satan tries to say, you're worthless, you can't do this job of being a pastor or whatever it is, like, what do I do? I don't say, well, you know, I'm strong or I'm mighty, or I literally say, well, I'm more than conquerors through him who loved me. I'm not a victim, because God has created me as his workmanship to do good works, right? Like, and so those are things that like Satan's always going to attack our identity, our value in Jesus. And so how do we throw God's word at Satan and tell him to back off? Not just like, get away, Satan, like, I'm too powerful for you, but rather like, let's throw his exact words that teach us, to teach our heart and soul something different.
Yeah. And what I hear you saying, it's not just memorizing for the sake of memorizing, but it's really unpacking these verses also and the richness that is there for you.
Yeah.
I had a student a long time ago, and they would journal these verses. And mm-hmm. it seems like by the end of, they filled an entire notebook with Revelation. That was, or not Revelation, I'm sorry, Romans, where yeah. God really had them camping. Mm. And they just kept going over and over these verses. And
yeah.
how is God speaking to me? What does he want me to know from this? So it's a little bit of having those in your heart, but also taking the time to unpack them and know them and
yeah.
bury them deep, right?
I think I would say that's all important with this caveat that like understanding the whole of scripture is always going to make your individual verses more powerful. But today I really want to camp like, so I don't want to like disregard that or say that's not important,
right.
But today it's really this point of not necessarily there's value in understanding the whole Bible, but for today it's the understanding of, are there some verses
right.
that you can memorize as not your words, but God's words that you can use to fight against the exact temptations that you're struggling with.
Right.
And those are always most valuable within the context of scripture. Like we see, in fact, the third temptation of Jesus, Satan actually quoted a Bible verse out
right.
of context. And so we need to understand, like, so my verse from Ephesians 2:10 is really important that I understand the whole context of that verse, right? Like that's significant. My Romans verse I quoted is really important that I understand the whole context of that. So do study the context of it, the context of the rest of the Bible. But I think this powerful, it's powerful when you cannot just throw, well, this is what I hear in the Bible. This is what I've been journaling
right.
about. But it's saying these are God's words that I'm throwing these exact words back at Satan. He throws something at me. I'm throwing these exact words that aren't my words or my thoughts and feelings about the scripture, but are Jesus' words right back at Satan.
So in the case of my student who's now an adult, but in the case of that student, it was good for them to unpack it. But what you're saying is, hey, have your ammunition ready.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, take time to unpack it and get to know it and get
yeah.
to understand the context.
Yeah.
But you've also got to have those verses on the ready.
Yeah.
So when you are in that struggle and you flee, you're throwing that back at Satan.
Correct. Because okay, one concept of fighting Satan, and I think both of these, like we're talking about kind of two different spiritual disciplines that overlap, but one concept of fighting Satan in my life is I want to be saturated with God's word, right? So that I know what's truth.
Right.
And so that's one great way to fight Satan off. The other way, though, is as we're saturated with scripture, we also carry a few verses that we can quote word for word back at Satan, that they're in our heart, our head, our mind. We're saturated within this one verse that I know it. I can say it off the top of my head,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Right.
2 Corinthians 12:9 is another one of mine, right? That my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can throw that off the top of my head when Satan's trying to say that I'm weak and powerless,
yeah.
right? Like, and that's the power of God's word when we memorize it versus just, there's value in saying I can articulate what the 8th chapter of Romans says and what it means to my life. There's great power in that. But I'm saying there's also power in memorizing one verse that you know it in its context, but you memorize the exact words and you're able to quote that verse. I mean, that's what we see Jesus doing. He didn't stop and articulate why Satan was wrong, right? He could have, and he's the Son of God, but we see him, I think, modeling more for himself than us, but modeling for us that no, throw exact words that you've memorized at Satan.
All right, so I want to backtrack a little bit of where do I start in all this? Because
yep.
the Bible is really big and
yep.
it's really vast. But before I get to that, what is the risk of when our identity is just out there and we're not leading it, it's leading us, and Satan's coming at us?
Yeah.
The shield of truth is not our shield. The shield of our identity yeah. is our shield.
Yeah.
What starts to happen when we're just living out our identity and Satan starts coming at us?
Yeah. I think when it becomes your identity and not your identity in Christ, I think that's how I would say it. Like when it's your identity, it's going to be fickle. It's going to waffle. Everybody's going to have an ability to speak into it and change it and adapt it. And I think like there's the lack of confidence in that. I think maybe a parallel analogy that I think works. Somebody asked me the other day, like if I ever get nervous when I get up and preach, and kind of what I said is, no, I don't. God has given me that gift, but I also feel a lot more confident when I'm opening God's word and speaking from that versus speaking from myself.
Right.
And so I think like the same is true, like in your walk, like if you're starting from a place of, well, this is who I am and this is how I feel about myself. And this is kind of my life experience and what it's taught me, right? Like that's very much a life is happening to me and I'm responding to it. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Christian way is, no, Jesus has given me this rock solid. He's the cornerstone. He's my identity. I have it in Christ because God so loved the world and I'm a part of that world, right? I have this rock solid identity. And then I get to, yeah, there's some things that have shifted and changed in me about through my life. Like I'm not the same person I was when I was born, for sure.
Right.
Not the same person I was a year ago. But like what has stayed true is that identity that I have in Christ, and allows me to be secured to something that goes outside of myself, that's beyond me. And I think that's what we get as Christians that nobody else in the world has, right? Like maybe by the time you're 35, you figure out who you are and you really don't change after that. Like, but that's like, that's,
I hate to tell you that doesn't happen.
No, and I don't think it does, but you're fairly much the same person that, yeah, you know, that's the best we have to say in the world. And again, if Satan and the world and our flesh are throwing things at us, right? Like you're going to be shifting as sand, you're going to be changing as the wind. And
right.
I think what we have in Christ is this thing that we're anchored to.
Right.
And that's super valuable.
Well, and I think through time we mature and we grow. On this side of heaven, we never stop growing or changing.
Yeah.
But I would rather grow and change with that centerpiece, with Christ as my centerpiece, and I'm finding my value in Him and in His truth versus this world. This world is going to lie to me.
Yeah. And the hope is, and those are like, that's what we talk about, like these spiritual disciplines, is that hopefully in the midst of all you're changing and growing, you're growing more toward Him and more toward that identity, right?
Right.
Like, and that's why these things are so important, because what Satan wants to do is grow you away from God. Like he has an agenda. His agenda is to lie and steal and destroy. Right? But I've come to life. Jesus says, I have to come to give you life that you might have it abundantly. And that abundant life is found by growing more toward Jesus. And that's, you know, the value of the spiritual discipline is that you're going to be growing. The value isn't just that you do it, but in that in the doing of it, you go closer, more closer toward Jesus.
Yeah, I like that, in the doing. Yeah. All right. So we're listening and we're on board and this sounds amazing. Where do we start? And I know you said, oh, you could AI it, you could Google it. But for somebody who is really in the throes of a struggle with Satan, that almost kind of sounds a little bit shallow. So
shallow to get to, I would just say it's shallow to get to God's word. Like it's shallow to be in His word. And so whatever tools you use to get there, like praise be to God.
Yeah.
And so,
and we have the tools.
Yeah. But I would say, so let's make it really practical. I think the first step, and this is really important, is just to note the temptation, right? Just be aware of what temptation is coming at you, right? Just be aware. Like just,
and be honest with yourself.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So what if your first step was to stop feeling the guilt and shame that you did this thing? Like we've been talking about gossip. So let's go back to gossip. Like
let's not put a name on it. I like keeping it more
general.
Okay.
Like making it general. Yeah. So you have this sin that you keep committing. It keeps happening in your life. What if you stopped for a moment and just stopped feeling the guilt and shame and just said, hey, I keep being tempted to do this. And sometimes I say no, and praise be to God. And sometimes I fall prey to temptation, right? God, I'm sorry that I'm falling prey to temptation. Like, let's just start there. But then in your doing that, what are you doing? You're being more aware of yourself, more conscious of where Satan's at, and more conscious of what God is doing, right? By admitting that you're being tempted, you're saying this is wrong. God says it's wrong. I'm falling prey to temptation. You're being more aware of Satan and God and yourself. When your awareness is always a good thing. And then after you're aware, I would say start putting words, even writing it down. Like I think just the act of writing it down is powerful. I keep being tempted in this way.
Yeah.
Right? And then you start looking for verses. So that's why I say the, like, I'm not joking, the value of typing it into AI, like, and asking it for give me Bible verses that help me in this, right? Like, that's actually, again, not because it's AI, but it's powerful because you're getting it in words.
Right.
And then you're what? You're getting verses that apply to it. Right. Now, again, the best way to do this would be a Christian brother or sister that knows way more scripture than me, because I'd much rather do it with a person than with AI. Mm-hmm. But like, well, I typed mine in. I'll just be vulnerable. I typed mine in. Sometimes this is straight into AI. I typed it in. Sometimes I struggle with self-worth and I can feel like a victim, that life is just coming at me and there's nothing I can do. Can you share some Bible verses with me that show me these to be lies? And so I shared a few of them. They were ones that I use already. Another one it pulled up is Psalms 139, for you created my inmost being. Mm. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
That's a great one.
Like, I'm going to memorize that now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and so I joke about AI, but I'm not. Now, again, the problem with it, if I don't, what I'm going to do is, so the Psalms verse, I'm going to go read it in context. I'm going to make sure that AI isn't leading me down a path that's incorrect. I'm going to use I'm going to use my brain, right, with the rest of scripture. So I'm not using it as the end all be all. I'm going to look at the verses, I'm going to study, and I'm going to decide if this verse really applies mm-hmm. or not, or if AI is using it out of context, right? Like, because that's...
And sometimes that happens with AI. It kind of gets a mind of its own.
Right. And so, and then, yeah, but it pulled up both. It's funny. It pulled up both of the verses. It pulled up Romans 8:37, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So like, it pulled up some of the verses that I'm already using, but it gave me some others as well. And again, do your homework. Don't just trust it at face value. AI is not your pastor. It doesn't have a theological degree. It's not grounded in scripture, but it can pull scripture that other people have used, because there's other people with these same temptations as you have. And that's the value in Googling it or using AI to come at it. This is not a class on AI, but...
But it makes sense. I mean, I think we live in a world where we can lean into some of these resources, and that's not a bad thing, but don't ever use it to replace God's word. Like, make sure you're going back to your Bible, whether it's an online Bible or whatever, check those verses. And then, just... camp on them, write them on a note card, mm-hmm. put them on your dashboard. Yeah. I put mine on my mirror in the morning when I'm getting ready to just really allow them to absorb into your heart and your mind.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the value in the verses, and, you know, use the tools to get to them. Use the friends around you. Hey, I'm struggling with this. Do you have any verses that might help? Use your pastor, use other leaders, like, find out, because there's a lot of other people that have struggled with the same things and they might have verses.
Right.
And then the last thing, like, if a verse, it might happen, you're walking through this and then a verse comes to your mind and you're like, but I don't remember where that's from, or I don't remember the exact word. Like, just type it into Google, like, what you know. And a lot of times it'll find the actual verse.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, and then study, I would say memorize the verse, but then study it in its context as well, right? And I think that's even better.
The visual I have, sometimes I see things, you know, in pictures, and the visual I have is firemen do this thing where if they're fighting a fire in a forest and the fire's surrounding them, they may have to get down and put that blanket, that safety blanket, over them so that the fire will pass over them, right? Mm. And it seems like not anything I would ever want to do is to lay down on the ground with this blanket over me. But God's truth does. It covers us. It protects us. It keeps us safe. And that is always a great place to go.
Yeah. I think instead of going to ourself, we're going to God's word. Like, that's really the value in this. Instead of going to yourself, your willpower or your strength or your fortitude to say no to Satan, you're going to God's word. And that's always, he promises that his word doesn't return void, right? Like, and that's always valuable.
Yeah, really great. Although I would like to do the AI class one of these days.
Okay. We could do AI and Bible study. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.